not talk as much as I usually do, and then I can curb stew on him not to, so give you an opportunity to kind of not even relate it back to your situation, but to spark an interest in your own. So we've got some keywords. I can put them up on there if you want, but you've got them on your notes, just so you can start thinking about your own kind of areas, if that makes sense. And it's not just the practicalities. It's not, here's a project, do this, or have you thought about that? It's actually about stirring up the incredible privilege that we have, that we get to partner with God, that he wants to use us, that in all the weird and wonderful ways that he's already put in our hearts already. So I'm just going to pray, and then we'll get started. So Father God, I thank you that you are mighty, that you would choose to use us to share your love and your might and your power to those around us. So I pray right now, Holy Spirit, would you just fill us afresh? Let your presence just stir our hearts and just draw to mind those dreams and visions that you've already placed in us, those giftings, and just open our eyes and our hearts to see ways that we can use all that you've put into us to impact our community. In the name of Jesus, amen. Okay, so we're going to start with a why, just so you get a bit of a background. Stu, would you share why do we do what we do, in the sense of, and we're talking about vision. Have you lost your marbles? So Stu's just going to share why we do what we do, in the sense of what our vision is, what God's call was for us in leading church, and 2 minutes.
2 minutes. Awesome. That's never going to work, is it? Okay, so we have to come out of what God says, okay? Always, it has to be out of God says. I was just upstairs with Stuart, and he was talking about evangelism, and something that he said was, and I'll put it in my own way, was that we can't do anything unless God is making it happen in our hearts in the first place, okay? And actually, one of the things is, it's us putting ourselves into a position with God every day. Okay, so that he is the one speaking into our lives and not our own voices. Okay, and one of that is the Celtics called it thin places. So it's us putting ourselves before the throne room of God. And a thin place is where heaven meets earth. And they would talk about places, but actually we should be a thin place ourselves. So we are in direct conversation with God, which is really important. For us, the scripture in Isaiah 58, when God gave it to me originally a long, long, long time ago when I first got saved, and it took a lot of working out of what God was saying to us. And let me just read it to you from verse 6 to the end. It says, "Is not this the fast that I choose, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the straps of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke? Is not to share your bread with the hungry, and bring the homeless poor into your house, when you see the naked to cover him, and not to hide yourself from your own flesh? Then shall your light break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up speedily. Your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call and the Lord will answer. You shall cry and he will say, 'Here I am.' If you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and speak of wickedness, if you pour yourself out for the hungry and satisfy the desire of the afflicted, then shall your light rise in the darkness and your gloom be as the noonday. And the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your desire in scorched places. Make your bones strong, and you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water, whose waters do not fail, and your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to dwell in." It goes on to 14, but otherwise I'm going to take too long. When you go into when Jesus speaks throughout the Gospels, it's 7 times, okay, the word compassion, okay? I'll say about now, I was going to say about it later. When we'd started doing one of our, I don't like the word projects because they're not projects, it's out of the love that has been poured out on us, we should go out dripping of Jesus wherever we are, okay? That actually his love in us should flow out to everyone else that we come near. And a lady said to me, we'd started feeding people, and a lady said to me at the end of a prayer meeting, just as we was going to feed people, she said, isn't it about time that we stopped? We don't see them in church. We haven't seen their behaviour change. So when are we going to stop? And I said to her that Jesus didn't go on about behaviour. The church isn't a behaviour modification centre. Okay, actually, we're there to love people. And why people need us will still be there. And that ended the conversation. But Jesus says compassion a lot. Okay. And so if Jesus talks about compassion a lot and showing compassion, then we need to be the same. That's basically why we do it. It shouldn't be out of our own compulsion. It should be out of what Jesus has done in our lives. And whatever he's done in our lives should just pour out from us.
Just to add on to that is the fact that from those verses, as Stuart wrestled with that as into his senior leadership, we also got, when we came to before Boston, when we were talking about taking on our own church, God dropped in these two words, which was restore and sanctuary. And we couldn't figure out, when we were looking at renaming the church, is it sanctuary church or is it restore church? And we realised through that God was calling us to restore people, like restoring the walls, the streets to dwell in, is restoring people spiritually, physically, emotionally, mentally. And actually the way that we do that is through people coming to a sanctuary, a safe place. Not people don't always just walk into church, but they will come to a sanctuary where they feel welcome and accepted. And from that safe place then, when they feel accepted and welcomed and loved, then they come to a place of being restored. And so we always had our outreach as being sanctuary. We would love a cafe at some point, but we'll talk about that later. But then we talk very much to our church that we are the sanctuary. So you are the safe place. You are the church. Wherever you go, you bring that sanctuary to draw them to a place where they can be restored. So that's a little bit about our why, our founding Bible verse that God has drawn us through and challenged Stuart. He had that even before I met him. So we're talking nearly 30 years ago, of going, what is it that's your founding? So on your sheets, you've got a little just square going, what's your why? So what's your why of why do you follow God? Let's do a baseline of that. What, why do you do what you do? Perhaps you're not doing any kind of outreach, but why do you do what you do in church? Why don't you do anything? These are questions to go, what is your driving force? And then if you are doing something, does that fit into the vision or the founding stuff that God gave you? That's, you're looking at me going, yes, tell me. But do you want to share? Anyone want to share anything that perhaps what their vision is or anything that's maybe been instigated by their vision? You're looking at me, go for it. Okay. Awesome. And that's really good because we'll talk a little bit about that because that's what bubbles up. Because I think quite often we want to think about we should have something that we do. And usually we love a label, don't we? And we love this is the ministry. And we love all that. But actually, it's what God's already put in you. And that's what's so beautiful and unique about all of us. We're not going to go, right, this is what you all do. You're going to start a toddler group and do that. And then you're going to do this. It's not about that. It's whatever. Oh, I'm jumping ahead. Sorry. So let's move on to the next one then. What? So we're just going to do a very quick rundown. And this is not a... This is not a look what we do. This is just an example of what we do. So you're going to do the list of what we do.
I'm going to do the list. Okay. So the list. This is what we do as a church. And as Tam said, it's not about, oh, look at us. Because basically, we only do what God says for us to do. Someone else could be doing something really nice and shiny and brilliant. That doesn't mean I'm going to copy it. It means if God puts that on my heart, or on our heart, then we do it. And we don't wait for anyone else. So this is what we do. So we do soup kitchen. We started it in our little building. We were waiting. How can we do it for ages? How can we do this? How can we do this? I know. And God said to Tammy, what's in your hand? He said, oh, we've got a building. We've got part of a kitchen. We'll just start cooking food. So soup kitchen, and we feed 40 or 50 people a night, five nights a week, in our car park now from our van. We do emergency food parcel provision. Okay. If someone comes, even just random people, and we'll do them a food parcel. By the end of this month, we'll have seven houses up and running for vulnerable men and women. We opened our first one for women in December. And houses bring different issues. But you know what? It's brilliant. We'll get back onto that a little bit as well. In fact, I think by the end of the month, we've just taken on another three people to work. So they're employed. So it's brilliant. And one of those is someone from the houses, which is amazing. We have, did I do that one? Street Connect. So Street Connect is about going out on the streets. Well, we're doing it in our car park where the soup van is, because that's a captive audience. We also have a drop-in. We're going to do one-on-one group work with people on that, and that's about addiction and getting people off of drugs. And it's a really good program. That's not ours. That's a program that we pay for, and we all got trained in. So that's just started. But we do a drop-in 2 days a week. It was the warm spaces that all came about a few years ago. We went from a warm space to a very warm space in the summer, because it's all glass fronted, and now we just do it all year round. And people just come, free tea, free coffee, cakes. Yeah, we're about cakes, our church. We're all about cakes. We do fun days. So we do a Good Friday fun day. We have church in the morning for an hour, and then takes about an hour, and we set it up. And I think this Easter we had about 400 people through the doors, which is amazing. Inside is all tea and coffee and craft, and outside is bouncy castles and free ice cream. We paid a local ice cream van to come in. We pay them. They give so many ice creams out with free food. It's just an incredible time to be able to have conversations with people, from see that the church is actually, the people are normal. Okay, that we just love people. We do obviously Christmas. Everyone does Christmas light parties. That's just the sort of stuff that we do. Schools work. Tammy heads up all our schools work. She does assemblies, pastoral care with the kids and the teachers in the schools. We've got 14 churches in Kenya that we've started since 2019, and so we send a team out there every year. The global one, yeah, okay, yeah. But it's just part of what God pours in, you pour out. At every moment, that's what it's got to be. We're also working on social enterprise, okay? So we're looking at ways in which, how can we, with the guys and the women that are in our houses, how can we not just give them somewhere to live and not just try and get them on the right, back on the right track, but actually, what do they do at that point? So there are different social enterprises that some of the people that we work with do, but we're now looking at a brand new one, which is all essential oils. And so it'll be making soaps, be making cleaning products, it'd be making creams, you know, I mean, all the good stuff, and in lovely little bottles, and it'd be really good. But it would be able to give them 16 hours a week while they're in our houses, so they still get their supported housing paid, but it's training them, you know. Maybe out of that, one of them could run it, you know. So we're doing that. So that's something that's on the cusp of starting now. And what did you put? Unofficial advisory.
So I read it, so we're talking about...
Do you want that?
Okay. There's lots of things that we do, and it gathers in everybody in our church's skill set. Someone enjoys something, likes something, has a skill in it, and it bubbles up into doing something about it. The unofficial advisory note that I put on there is because of our time, we've been there since 2012, we've now become a place where random people will turn up with a slip of paper with the name of the church on, going, I've been told to come here for help. Because we've kind of gone, we're not into recreating the wheel. If there's something else going on, then we don't need to do that. We used to, I'll say that in a minute. But we try then and either signpost or fulfill the need as it's presented to us. Just so you know, it's not about running lots of things. We've done lots of other things that we don't no longer do now as well, that we no longer do now. And we don't do them, some of them because they didn't work, some of them because it's just a seasonal thing, lots of different ones. So in the past, we've always founded any kind of ministry, usually on doing kids clubs. And what we found is you can do more ministry out of one ministry. So you do a kids club, but then you've also got parents that drop them off. So you can run a cafe at the same time as your kids club and have people talking with the parents, or you can run Alpha alongside. Rather than having people out 6 billion different nights a week, you can utilise what people are already rocking up to. All of your Christmas and things events, you get your kids and your kids club involved, then the parents have to come and support them, and you already have them. But we've done things, so we don't do a kids club or toddler. This is all stuff that we've done before. We used to have a social supermarket. We just closed that in November. We used to run a club called Don't Fit. It was brilliant. It was basically a circuit training for people that didn't like getting fit, but it was family. It was brilliant. It was family orientated. We got them to sign a waiver because, I mean, I've got a degree in health and sports studies, but it doesn't qualify me to actually do any. So we're like, sign a waiver that you're up for having a go, and if you get injured, it's not our fault. But your kids could only come if their parents were involved, and so we'd have families come together and do circuit training. And then we had lockdown. We had a drama club because we had parents in who are working in church, and in the thing that wanted a good club for their kids, and there wasn't one, so we were like, we'll do one. So we had a drama club. We've had a jacket potato van, a short-term social enterprise for the guys in our houses, trying to give them opportunity without the pressure to be able to work and learn that commitment. We used to have a bouncy castle business. Stu is very entrepreneurial, and he bought this bouncy castle business for the church to earn money. We had to sell it because I kept giving it away for free, and I'm not very good at charging people, and so that we decided it was best to give that one away. We've done crazy things. We started something called Smash It Up, which was, we were going to join the junior stock car racing team in our local area. We had, and that was out of, we did, that was, we had a trial, we had no insurance, so we did it with a few families. So we were quite happy to risk our kids' lives teaching them to drive in a field. My 8-year-old son... So this was out of one of the guys in our church. His son had severe special needs, emotional needs, and it was a way of connecting with his son. And so we started doing, let's trial it and see if we can make it a thing. So we had a few sessions where the kids would come and with their parents. It's all encompassing. You're building relationship with the parent and the child. They're learning how to work on a car. They're learning to drive in a massive field. healed. And that was for a short time. Didn't get off the ground purely because the guy who was running it had different commitments. We do that. But again, that's using the people around us. And I mean, there's been endless ideas. We had a whole session of Live 58 coming from Isaiah, which we had things like... God gives it, give peas a chance, not peace, give peas a chance, which we were all about families. And so we were going to go, do you know what we could do is we could get families referred to us that are struggling in their communication. We can go, right, as a family, we're going to buy you a table and chairs. We're going to go out with you as a family. We're going to buy a meal and the ingredients, and then back in your house or in a big social setting, we're going to cook that together, and then you're going to eat that around the table, and you're going to learn how to talk with each other and build those family connections. Loads of ideas that we didn't have the funding to go with that to push that through. But there's loads of ideas, and it's using the passions that are in our heart. And I said some of those stopped because they just we didn't have the capacity. The dreams and the desires are still there and bubbling up, but they're things that excite us. They're things that we love to do. I used to love doing kids club, so not there anymore. And so if someone wants to run a kids club, it's brilliant, but I do not have that in me anymore. So really, we're looking at, when you're looking at in your local area, we did smash it up because we had a guy that had a small holding and wanted to be able to go, and was going, I want to open it up and let people have their own allotments. And so we could have families come in and have their own allotment. And so this was like, brilliant, equip people. So when you say, I want to do something, I don't know what, sorry, I know personally, you've got runner ducks. I don't know, do something with ducks. I mean, people love a duck, don't they? But there's things inside each one of you that you love. There's things that you really can't stand. God's not calling me to go and run a maths club. You know, some people would love that. But there's things inside each one of you. And so the questions you've got on your next sheet that I hope is kind of bubbling up in you is not, oh, right, I better go home and start thinking about that toddler group. I mean, our church has taken Go Forth and Multiply literally. We do it. Every other blooming week we're doing a dedication. It's wonderful, but we need more room. But you know, someone needs to run a toddler group in our church because we've got enough. But there'll be something that you're going, I want to do something, but I don't know what. So you need to stop looking at kind of the traditional things and go, what is in your hand? What do you want to see? You don't need to recreate the wheel. I should have written that one down there. Yeah, I talk too much. Do you want me to say a bit of that? Just so an example of then what this does in church and the changed lives. We have, when we had our social supermarket, we had a lovely lady that just rocked up to come and get her cheap food for her family. And me and my, it was £5 at the time, me and my natural thing, she looked really cool. And I was like, oh, I love your top, it's so amazing. And everything. And out of conversation, she ended up starting, well, she'd come every week and she'd walk past the office so I could see when she comes out. And we were all like jumping out and saying hi and building relationship. Out of that, she came into church. Out of that, she's given her life to God, and her family are coming to church. And then she now works for our church. She's now on our worship team, and she's raw. She's a new Christian, but is all in. She joked last night in our restore group that she realised now why she works at church, because she needs to have that short reign. If she was left out in the open, we have a really great relationship. But just through, although the pantry has closed now, that was one opportunity. And I'd love to say we had hundreds of people come in through. They didn't. People came, got their food, and went. We've had other things with the guys in our house. You had your hand there. Guys in the houses, where we've had guys in our houses that have come through. We've had guys in our houses that have come through and have gone back into addiction and have passed away. We've had guys in our houses that have come through and just flourished and gone on to college and gone on and gone to work. And we've had guys in our houses that have come on and now employed by us, now coming in, running, helping run our soup kitchen, or helping give back and working with the other guys in the houses. So that doesn't happen overnight. It's a long slog, not in a, oh, it's a long slog, but But just do. Just keep loving in that sense. Shall I move on to the next one? Because I'm running out of time. So we'll look at then very, very, very quickly, because it's the last bit really that we want to talk about, is the who. Is the who. Who then are you looking at? Who is your neighbour?
So, you know, we can just go to Luke 10 and the parable of the Samaritan. And Jesus goes on to explain that our neighbour is everyone. You know, because so often we want the convenience. Yeah, we want the convenience of, oh, I like that person. Or, oh, they look nice. And all that. And actually, everyone's our neighbour. And you know what? Everyone being our neighbour means that it takes effort. Okay? When God said to me, 2013, start feeding people. So we started feeding people at 10 o'clock at night, which is a really stupid time because it was convenient to me. Okay? It was convenient to me, and we had five people coming two nights a week, and basically all they wanted was somewhere to stay. Then I realised we was going to get in a lot of trouble with these five people sleeping on our church floor. Okay? Then we had a flood in December, which flooded most of Boston. And actually, it was quite a good thing. It wasn't a good thing. That I know. It wasn't a good thing. But for us, in the sense of changing the direction of what we were doing, it was a good thing. So then that made us, when we did the church back up, because we was up to here in water, we really did it up. And when we restarted, we went to three nights a week at 8 o'clock. Okay. And all of a sudden, there was, because I always knew there was more in need than five people. And so 20 and 30 and 40 and 50 would squeeze into our little building that we had at the time to come and get fed and charge their phones and stuff. And sometimes, you know what? Church had no money for that. We had no money for that. Did I want to be there? Because it was me doing the two, three nights a week at that time. Did I want to be out three nights a week and the other nights, Bible study, the other night, prayer meeting, the other night, we'd run out of nights. Youth, you worship. I was just constantly not at home. And you get tired. You get abused by people. You get told, oh, I don't like this food. Beggars can be choosers, by the way. And sometimes people get hurt because of other people's dependency on drugs, other people's mental health that actually is just going to be spat out all over you. And so we need the Holy Spirit. We need to be doing it because the Holy Spirit is in us. We need to be doing it because Jesus has poured out all over us his love so that we pour out, okay? Not out of ourselves. Because if you're pouring out of yourself, then when the word comes at you, you walk away. And we've seen so many staff, volunteers walk away because they were doing it because it was nice. Not doing it because, you know what Jesus said, go out and feed people, go out and help people, you know. And sometimes it's hard, but everyone needs to be our neighbour, everyone.
So just thinking about, obviously we had a real heart for the homeless, and that was quite a need in Boston at the time, but when you're looking at your neighbour and who are you wanting to put on community events for? Who is your community? Because depending on who your community is will depend on what you do. For when we first started, I was pregnant with our youngest when we first started. And so my community was the school gate and the nursery. You know, I'm not there anymore. I'm just, you know, my community is very different. A community of the people that come in, or people that I go when I go, the other teachers, or we have lots of doctors that come to our church, and so we have a whole NHS contingent. Who is your neighbour? You don't have to look hard to find who's in your community. Sometimes we're blinded by projects and good ideas, thinking, right, we better go and do this, rather than going, what have you got? What have you got in your hand? Who is in your hand? Who have you got? First of all, what have you got in your heart? But who do you relate with best? Who do you get along with? Who are the people that you've got around you?
So, if you're not a church leader and God speaks to you, because I've found this sometimes, and God says, do this. Go to your church leader and say, God is really challenging me, to do this. Don't go to your church leader and go, you should do this, okay? Because actually, it's God's called you. You know, what you need to do is go to your leader, the leadership of your church, and go, okay, this is what God's saying. How can I make this happen? And they'll go through lots of steps with you to go, okay, let's make this something sustainable, because you know what? The world is tired of church doing one-hit wonders. You know, we need to show that we're there, you know, and we're there to stay, and we're there to help, we're there to love, you know. And love is so important. We can't do it with that. We've got to do it with that. That's how we've reached people.
I think I'm just going to skip over the where is your local community, because when we were looking at stuff, we were looking at some of our local community. Stu has done work in Romania and in Kenya and the Ukraine, which he will be delighted to tell you his danger stories in the Ukraine when I finally let him go. But because we're looking at your own town locality, I don't, you know, open your eyes and have a look at what's in your area. And I think we want to spend a bit more time on the when and the how. And Stu really hit it really well hopefully, if you're not the senior leader, you've all got leaders in your church that are willing to equip you and support you in whatever stuff that you want to do, really. Stuart is very good at releasing people and allowing them to do what they do. And it doesn't always work out. Sometimes it's a mess and you're like, okay. Or sometimes it's a great idea and someone sets it up and then it's really not good and you have to take that on and you're like, oh, now I've got something else to juggle. But, which is fun. Or you give it to your wife, which tends to happen. But you've got to be able to release and give your heart, because it's the things that really God has put in you. We're all the church. So when we're looking at the when and the how, just I'm going to ask you to be specific in the journey. That wasn't a dig. It wasn't a dig. I'm not going to say, do you want to do soup? I was just going to say, you've spoken quite a bit about the soup kitchen. I didn't know if you wanted to do, just as an example, perhaps a little bit about the journey of the soup kitchen and a little bit about the journey of how we got into housing, because they're quite specific ones.
Yeah, that's cool. Okay. So, soup kitchen, as I said earlier, so a guy in our church came to me and said, there's people on the streets, I mean, it feed them. I'm like, I've seen them, let's do something. So we did, and it was basically me and him at the beginning, just feeding people in our church. So one night, so when it was first of all me and him, we had no idea about feed more than three people. So one night it was beans on toast, okay? Because you know what? Beans, it doesn't matter if they're not absolutely 100% cooked. They're not going to kill you, okay?
Something. Don't kill them,
feed them, yeah. And don't serve soup in the soup kitchen. And the other one, on the other night, most weeks, I went to a shop and we bought tin meatballs. Cooked them up and toast. That was our thing because we had loads of bread, okay? So we did that and we kept doing that. And that was really a lot of the team. Like when people started to come and help and volunteer and only to do one night a week, that's what we was trying to do. Or people would just like chuck a load of stuff in a cauldron, cook it up, give it to people. And we was getting tons of cakes off this bakery in town and everything. Most nights it was there trying to police it to stop people having a fight or nick everything, right? And we did that for about 18 months. Randomly, out of the blue, I got an email. So we're in Boston, 45-minute drive away is Peterborough, and I got a email on the Sunday from the guy who runs Peterborough Soup Kitchen, which are not Christians. On Monday, I phoned them. We started having a conversation. He said, we've got loads of food. He said, we now get it off the factories, where all the soup. He went, would you like food? I was like, yes, please. So he brought me a van full of food, and it had vegetables, all that. So it meant we all of a sudden went, oh, wow, we can cook all this stuff. As we were running out, he'd phone me and go, I've got a load of food again. So I go, great. Went on for about 18 months. Then he phoned me, said, Stu, how would you like a van? So I went, what? He went, a burger van. So I was like, I'll talk to my trustees, thinking we're going to have to buy this. So I went and saw it, and our van is, we should have brought a photo of it. It's an amazing van. It's 2004. This van, we've done, I think, 1,500 to 2,000 miles since we've had it, since 2016, because it doesn't go far. And so I went down, I went and see the van, and the inside, it was all kitted out, all the back, all stainless steel. Absolutely amazing looking van, really good. And he said, you can have it. And then when I went to go and pick it up, me and one of our trustees went down, went to go and pick it up in Peterborough, and they said, we're really sorry, but you're going to have to pay something. And I'm like, oh, I'm starting to feel a bit let down, you know? And he went, because we're a charity, you're a charity, you're going to have to give us a pound. So I was like, yeah, of course. Here's a pound. And he went, and we'd like to donate it back to you. So they donated it back. And this van, we still use this van. This van is at work 5 nights a week, feeding people. We've had it since 2016. And people kept saying, why? How comes? And I said, because we are just doing what God wants us to do. And so actually, when we're doing what God wants to do, God makes a way. That was part of what I said to the lady who said to me, why are we still doing it? I was like, look at that van that we've been given. We hadn't even had it all signed up at the time. I'm like, that's God's blessings on it. So I said, if God's blessing it, why would we stop it?
Just to add to that, because you, it's a long story for over a long time, but to reiterate, there were many times when we didn't have the money for, it was like, oh, we've run out of beans. What are we going to do? How are we going to keep this going? And it was literally day to day. It's like, what can we do today? What are we going to have? And you know, we were buying it personally, or people were just bringing it in. And we didn't advertise. This wasn't something that we had on Facebook. It wasn't something that we were going, hey, everybody. And none of our activities have we advertised. Other people do it on our, but like, oh, you should look at it. But we're just, I'm not that way minded, but it's not anything we've pushed. And so the connection with Peterborough, we were like, how did you find out about us? Because it wasn't on anything. In the same way, God came in miraculously so many times. I mean, we've had random things like we had no food for that night. We're like, what are we going to do? Someone rang up and they're like, I'm from the National Trust. We've got a whole load of sandwiches. Would you like them? We're like, yeah. That night, the homeless and vulnerable of Boston, like we're eating, you know, like those £1 million sandwiches that you know, it's like you're trying to feed your family for under £1,000 at National Trust property. They're like salmon and something. And, the guy's like, oh, we've had donations of things that we had a whole load of. They do. So we've gone from, so we take lots of donations now. And these connections have come up purely because God's put them in place. Lockdown was brilliant in the sense of we got far more donations with things like Fair Share and Neighbourly, and that built up connections as well. And now our teams, our soup kitchen team is predominantly non-Christian, our volunteers, at the moment, but we always pray before we go out, and they have prayer cover as well when they go out, and they know that. But God has met us at every point when we haven't had anything. It's been insane, hasn't it? Do you want to... Yeah, just the difference between the...
Okay. Okay, that's cool. So, that's always terrible. Yes. So, we got the first house in 2016 through Green Pastures, okay? So, that was July 2016, we got the first house. So, I had a call in 2015 with the council when we started the journey of wanting to do housing, and they said, phone up your local housing officer. So, I phoned them up. Head of housing in Boston, and I said, "What?" And he went, "Who do you think you are?" Okay, that was the words, and he put the phone down on me, and I was like, "Wow, that's really nice, really great." So what we did later that year, we got the house anyway, because I knew God was saying it, so I'm just going to do it, and we'll deal with the fallout after that. And there never came any fallout. We're now, as I said earlier, on seventh house. Five were Green Pastures, two are privately rented, and we are now in the process of becoming a registered provider, an RP, okay, which is a lot of work. Now, because the council wanted us to become an RP, they paid last year $30,000 to the advisors to come and help us become an RP. Who do you think you are? We're paying $30,000 now. Once, because we've had to change from a charity to CIO, and then we do the RP once we've done the CIO. So later this year, we will be an RP. The council now are saying, okay, there's three councils. We want you to work with the three councils because we want you to expand. So not only have you got your seven houses in Boston, we want you to take down into Spalding, Hull Beach area, and we also want you to get houses in Skegness. Can you please do that? And we're like, yeah. If you support it and you pay for it, we'll do it. And they're like, yeah, because what we'd really like to do is phase out all the other providers and just have the church doing what you do. Because we don't just provide homes, we love them. Yeah, that's right. We care for them. Even when we've had to ask someone to leave because they won't pay, they won't engage, we have then found them somewhere else to live because we love them. And the basis of everything has got to be love. I can tell you stories and everything. So if you want to ask me at some point, ask me, I'll tell you some stories about.
I think the thing that we have found is having that strong foundation of what your vision is and what God's called you to do. And then that strong connection to what are you like? Because God's put his desires in your heart. What is it that you, maybe it's knitting. Maybe it's crochet. Maybe it's Lego. We were going to have a Lego club, an adult Lego club. Do you know, because it's really cool for some people. It doesn't matter what it is in that sense. If you've got a passion, there's going to be other people with that passion. So use what you have. And I think it helps having a senior pastor who is very visionary and is very up for giving everything a go, and very good at bringing the ideas and then having people run around and make them happen for them and have that going. But I think in that passion, when it's something that you know God's calling you to do, that's what keeps you going. Because it's a long time. When you talk for the journey from one house to seven, if our vision wasn't restore streets to dwell in, right, we're gonna have this whole housing. God did speak to you specifically about housing, but it wasn't like we took on church, we're going to become a housing provider. This is when you just start with what's in your hand, and that might be an idea, it might be a passion, it might be a skill. Start with that. We had loaves of bread and tins of beans. We started with that, and God has met it at every need. An example of when we've stopped, like our social supermarket, was a brilliant idea. Our manager at the time stepped down, and we were still trying to push it. We were losing money because I'm really rubbish at making people pay for stuff. And to be honest, though, we are really happy. We don't mind losing money if it's serving a purpose, because God always fills it back in another place. We weren't doing it to make money, but we did need to kind of break even. Would have been easier, wouldn't it? That was your point, but I was like, let's just go for it. The bouncy castle business we passed on to somebody else who we have a really good working relationship with, not Christians, but we go, you have this at a really cheap price, and every event we do, you need to give us the bouncy castles for free and come. So we have a whole sports team that come and are part of our Good Friday fun day, where we're sharing with everyone. On Good Friday, God gave us the greatest gift, so we're going to gift the community. That's when we do get to give everything for free. Everything for free as a reflection of that. We've got non-Christian guys volunteering with their bouncy castles. I think what we wanted to share was, you don't have to wait till you've got it all together. If God says it, he'll make it happen. If there's a call, then you've got to answer. What is in your hands? So when you've got your little section of when and what, there'll be little ideas that Holy Spirit is dropping in your hearts and your minds right now to do that. I put things like build relationships through service. Maybe you love mowing lawns. I love mowing lawns. Mow someone's lawn for them. You don't know what that's going to generate, whatever skill set that you have. You're looking at me to say, shut up.
There's what's God put on your heart, what's the dream that God has put within you. You know, saying, and I'm trying to think who it was who said it, but if a dream doesn't scare you, it's not from God. Yeah. See, if a dream doesn't scare you, then it's from you, because it's easy. We can make it happen. If you've got to rely on God, then it's a little bit scary, isn't it? If it's above you, it's beyond you. Okay, so don't be put off by something that makes you go.
So on the bottom of your sheet, in the corner of just a resources, are just some of the key verses that spoke to us, and some key phrases just to remind you. First, what is in your hands? That's been a big one that Stu and I have always gone, what have we got? What can we do? Because it's always about doing. And I just want to say as well is we're in a season at the moment where we have always just generally had a passion for the community. So we've always been, and me personally, Stuart's called to be senior leader, and as a wife, you tag along, and now a pastor in my own right. But I've always been like, do you know what? If you love Jesus,